Hi, my name is Randy, and I will be your host for this episode of Infotainment, and I am the producer of it. If you are a first-time listener, some of it is serious and some of it is funny. A little information and entertainment for your ears. Usually I start off with something serious. I finally come to the realization that this is probably just going to be a hobby for me, since I don't have the number of listeners required to make it much more popular. I boosted some posts I made in Facebook, which one post I revealed some personal things about myself, which I was kind of hesitant to do, but I wrote them, and I spent some money and sent them off to wherever Facebook landed them. I don't know how they work that with their advertising, but it seems you get a lot more likes and page engagements. That was my goal, was to have people like my web page and actually listen to some shows. But that doesn't, maybe they have. But I have redesigned my web page, and it must have looked kind of funny that I had a British theme up there as my background for a while, since I'm from the U.S. And I would like to visit London someday, because I do have someone, I don't know if they're a repeat listener or a few people, but I think I might have a repeat listener in the Westminster area of the UK, which is nice. I always like to see people listen from different countries. And this, I usually take some time in between podcasts, because I can only stand listening to my voice so much. I'm not like Rush Limbaugh, who loves to listen to the sound of his own voice, which he has said on his program many times. And also, you know, as growing up in my early years, I wasn't, you know, this is when I was kind of like the 12, 13 age range. I didn't have a lot of music. My family had records, but they rarely played them or had me listen to anything they had. And when I got this simple 8-track stereo, I think I had this an 8-track of John Denver, and the rest were like comedy 8-tracks. And in my 80s, I did listen to a lot of The Who, and I went to a couple Grateful Dead concerts, and that's been the extent of my concert going. A couple Grateful Dead shows and one show in my college years in the Twin Cities, Minneapolis, St. Paul, was Cheap Trick and Aldo Nova, for those that you remember him. But I kind of dropped music, but now I've come to find all the information on YouTube and different places. I found myself listening to the group ABBA, even though they haven't done Reunited or anything for years. It must have been comforting to know that they had broken the bank and made a lot of money relatively early in their lives. And with that fame comes a lot of, you think their life is all roses, but it comes with a price. I listened to some interviews too. They were in with some of the music tracks. And Agneta, the blonde singer, I don't want to butcher her last name. Their names are a little tough, but even Dick Clark on American Bandstand had one of the members of the group introduce the rest of the group. Benny, I believe he called him, Benny Anderson, which was, you know, kind of easy to say. Yeah, that Agneta, boy, they had a kind of a little documentary on her. And she, I don't know how she took it, but she, there was so much press about her, about how great her backside was. Her bum, as they would say over there. I think she kind of didn't like that, but she, I guess some of their outfits, they didn't seem to, they always seemed happy, so I don't know if they really complained about them. They had some unusual get-ups. But they really, you know, I've come to appreciate, you know, a wide variety of music, even though I don't play a lot. I listen to a little Neil Diamond, and but this weekend's been mainly ABBA hits and some more obscure songs. But I did run across this other song. I never really listened to the music talent shows that have been floating around for a while. But I did run across this song that this guy sang on one of those X Factor shows from the UK, Simon Cowell's Baby. He wasn't there at the time, but the one of the judges, I think the main one for that episode, kind of had his head down and didn't think this guy was going to do much of anything and bomb. He was singing the song. I think he had lost a relative and he was doing it for some of his family members. The judge had his head down. And when this guy, when they were talking to him, he was just shaking like a leaf. Like, he was so nervous. But when he starts this song, the judge lifted his head and like, wow. Guy sings his heart out, I must say. So, let's give it a listen.
Some say love, it is a river that drowns the tender reed. Some say love, it is a razor that leaves your soul to bleed. Some say love, it is a hunger. You, it's only seed. When the night has been too lonely, snow. Lies the seed that with the sun's love in the spring becomes the rose.
With the price of fame comes the pitfalls, inevitably. I saw a little snippet of a video. It wasn't very long, but it deals with the group ABBA and Agnetha from the group, how she had to deal with a stalker for quite a while, who actually moved twice just to be close to her and wrote her a bunch of letters, but she actually went with the guy for a couple years, I guess. And after that, she described him as a Dr. Jekyll, Mr. Hyde after a while, and tried to put an end to that, but he still holds a candle out for her, at least I think so. But maybe he's gotten over it over the passing years. But that would be kind of the worst feeling as an actor, is having stalkers. Well, let's move on to what I found on Netflix. The pitfalls of starting a new series. This is called Chaos on the Bridge, written and directed by William Shatner. This documentary that tells the true behind-the-scenes story of the creation of Star Trek The Next Generation. For all you Trekkies and Trekkers, I know there's a difference, but I'm not sure what the... I heard it once before. There is a difference between Trekkies and Trekkers. But I did watch a couple of, Comic-Cons, one in London, where they had all the captains of each Star Trek show on stage, talking with them about it. And Chaos on the Bridge didn't do that so much, but they were dealing with kind of the way Gene Roddenberry's vision caused a lot of problems with the writers, because basically Gene wanted to be a utopian society where there wasn't a lot of conflict. And during the first couple of years, they said like 30 writers had been fired or had just quit. But there was one writer who had worked on other shows, TV shows. He had written for Miami Vice, which I liked, and The Equalizer, starring Edward Woodward, which I liked even more than Miami Vice. But he had the idea of the Borg, which has kind of re-energized the Star Trek world, I think, being a very interesting character, the development of their society, only acquiring knowledge and not giving it away, and being pretty much unstoppable, and how creative that, say, the Voyager crew and the Next Generation had to deal with that. But the actors that they talked to about the Next Generation, during the first two seasons, they were always worried about whether they were going to be fired the next day, which is, that's a tough situation when you're working like 12, 14, 16 hours a day under such a tight schedule to get these programs out. But after Gene had passed on, they kind of found their groove with Rick Berman, and the rest is kind of history. Well, they actually went 7 seasons. You know, maybe the critics kind of panned. And like ABBA, the critics were unkind in Sweden. And just the amount of people involved in these shows is just enormous. The writers, the directors, executive producers. And Gene Roddenberry, during The Next Generation, had this lawyer that nobody liked. And they often talked about shoving him out of the window. because he was trying to take control of everything. They were having conflict after conflict about who should be captain, and we can't have a bald captain, and I guess Patrick Stewart had to have a toupee flown in from England, and he had to wear a toupee during one of his readings for the show. But they finally agreed upon him. And for a long time, I was stuck on the original series. And why aren't they using them for this new show? And then I sort of realized, well, time moves on. And they got the Starfleet, and there's other ships that have their own issues. In the Star Trek universe, I really enjoyed Voyager, the rescue of 7 of 9 from the Borg, and her struggles to become a human being. And I really enjoyed the show Enterprise. And I enjoyed the character interplay on that show. But they were only given like 3 seasons or whatever. And the ending, I thought, was really kind of a slap in the face to the actors. I thought Voyager and Enterprise could have done very well in having movies made. But I guess we'll never see that with this new show called Discovery, which is on this CBS All Access. Right now I'm paying for Netflix. If it shows commercials in there, I won't. I've become so accustomed to watching Netflix, I can barely watch regular cable anymore because of the commercials, even if you mute them. But just the number of people involved in those shows, just mind-boggling that the Star Trek The Next Generation went through about 30 writers while Gene was still alive. And just the budget of it was on a shoestring there for a while, but then they got some more money. And I guess the actors' trailers were like really kind of dumpy at first. They were like really old and small for the actors. But I'm sure after the third season or whatever, they probably were improved greatly. and for the movies, which I went to, Enterprise, I thought, really, it just kind of, the last episode where it was William Riker playing the part of the chef on the show Enterprise, and it all come down to being a holodeck program. And it made kind of the other episodes seem, well, it's just a holodeck fantasy, not fantasy, but holodeck, the way things happened in the early years of Starfleet. I can't think of his name right now. Maybe it'll come to me. Started in Quantum Leap, which I enjoyed also. NFL coaches, they kind of say that they're just hired to be fired eventually. But when the show hits success, they tend to stick with what works. And they showed Wesley Crusher from Next Generation. And I think he was kind of panned. And I guess Gene Roddenberry kind of smoothed that out with him, which was interesting. Dr. Beverly Crusher was replaced by, I don't remember the actress's name, but I guess she didn't get along with the rest of the cast very well, so the other doctor came back. And one of the greatest things that Gene came up with was the holodex, which it is tough to do this by myself. Maybe it's a side effect of bipolar, I don't know, that I can't just stream along a voice where I have no mistakes and can talk a mile a minute like, say, Rush does. I wonder if he ever exactly took voice lessons or it just came naturally. And I don't like the quiver in my voice. This is a relatively obscure podcast because I got onto it kind of late. Now that a lot of celebrities being successful and famous think they have to have a podcast too. And I kind of steer clear of those. The late, great Tom Snyder, former TV, he had the Tomorrow Show, I believe. He was wanting to do a radio show, which I thought was good, actually. People, higher-ups, executives, or whatever, said, well, how is your show going to be any different than anything else? And he goes, well, that's because I'm hosting it, which I kind of have to look at the way I do this. I have tried to convince CJ, who helped me out with one podcast. I think we kind of understand each other's sense of humor. One of the funniest things we came up with, the kind of the interplay between the host and the guest host, or however you want to put that. One of the funniest things that happened during that show was we were talking about the show called Ghost Adventures, which is on the Travel Channel. And in between the 23 hours of Andrew Zimmern being shown, the bald guy who will eat anything that bugs in China, he'll eat animal penises. But Ghost Adventures, some of the things they go through, being in these haunted places overnight, and the equipment they use, they have picked up some very strange things. And I list all the people that go into developing that show, when they have like three main characters on it, and sometimes they get scratched by supposedly an evil entity. And sometimes they are followed. They claim they are followed by an evil entity to wherever they go, to like their home. And Zach Bagans is kind of the leader of the group, has said that he's gone through blessings and like rituals to ward off these spirits. And I find the show interesting, so I downloaded a lot of apps to my phone on ghost hunting, which some of these apps are similar to what they use on the show. And I've used one in particular because they have a word generator, which a spirit can use, whether you think it's hokey pokey or not legitimate, which is possible. But mostly the things coming out of the words they were speaking are the words that were written in this little box that supposedly were spoken by the spirits, were kind of evil in nature. The one that really kind of freaked me out, it has said my actual name is Randy. I don't lie about that, which I could have taken another name for this show. But for security kind of reasons, I don't say my last name. It struck me as, that really kind of freaked me out. But maybe that's some of the permissions that you give for these apps. Maybe they got it from that and somehow manipulated the word generator. But that is an interesting show. for all you Trekkies out there, Trekkers, Comic-Con fans, you might check out Chaos on the Bridge. It's really interesting how that show, The Next Generation, came about and survived as long as it did.
The price of fame. Is it worth it? Well, when you think about all the Star Trek characters and actors and people behind the scenes that have gone to conventions, I wonder how they worked that out with, like, the captains of all the series. How if they just asked them, they're under contract or to do that, or they get paid a lot. That's why they show up, because, you know, like Bill Shatner, you'd think he'd be like, I don't want to do anymore. I've been there, done that a million times, but he still shows up and does pretty good, pretty well. The one in London, they had the five captains up on stage, and it was kind of funny because Scott Bakula kind of sat like he didn't even want to be there, which he probably has done about the least of them of all the others. But they were all asked what was the most unusual or weird thing that they were asked to do at a convention. And Scott Bakula says, I haven't had anything that unusual or weird happen. So the ultra gay host asked him to sign his butt cheek. So he did. William Shatner said, I had a lady come up to Bill Shatner and ask him to sign her left breast. I'd probably say, well, can I write my first name on your left breast and then my last name on your right breast? But, and then when you look at the Swedish supergroup ABBA, some of the film clips of them on their videos on YouTube, looks like the press is trying to crush themselves and the group, trying to get a statement from them. I don't blame them. All the travel and stuff, and we we're rich beyond our wildest dreams, selling that many albums. One kind of unique story. I was a fan of The Who and kind of Pete Townsend there for a while. And one of the members, the co-writers for ABBA, was in New York a few years ago. And he said, Pete Townsend stopped him and said, SOS was the best pop song ever written. And he goes, I felt so proud. But you kind of went, where did they meet? Some of the different stories that came out. On to my earlier topic that I kind of went off on a tangent, but I was talking about the possibility of ever having a co-host on a regular basis. One of the best lines I had when CJ was here co-hosting, we were talking about Ghost Adventures, and I mentioned that the front man, Zach Bagans, for that group, was afraid of clowns or didn't like clowns. CJ said that they went through a clown motel in like Arizona or someplace in the Southwest. I don't know if they did a lockdown where they stayed overnight, ghost chasing, spirit chasing. CJ was adamant that we go down there and stay a night. I'll pay for the room if you stay at the clown motel. And there's clowns everywhere, I guess, in the lobby and stuff. I go, no, I get too creeped out. And he says, oh, come on, we can go down there.
So I said, "Did you say Nevada and the Bunny Ranch?" And he didn't. He's like, "No, no, I don't think it was there." A much better time, I think, unless maybe you combine the clown and the bunny, a clown motel and a bunny ranch, maybe. But I don't have that particular deal. On that note, I think it's time to end this podcast. I hope you've enjoyed The Price of Fame. It was fun to produce. And also, you can listen or download by iTunes. Even though I don't get very much on the statistics, except a popularity meter, which doesn't really tell me anything. You can also, let's see if I can see this over my microphone. I have a Facebook page. I have a username at GalaxyQuest79. Now, I think you have to put infotainment in front of that. And you can also visit my page at fb.me/GalaxyQuest79. Or at you can message me at m.me/GalaxyQuest, the number 79. All these things that you have to have going with a podcast. But hopefully you enjoyed the show. And now comes the very long episode of editing that I have to do on this program. So long. Have a great day and a great week and a happy ending tonight. Bye-bye, folks. Oh, by the way, I hope you enjoy the music. And you make me feel